this week's Triton Spotlight, we're chatting with UC San Diego men's soccer team captain Noah Sonnenstein. The grad student fills us in on his amazing soccer journey overseas this past summer. Noah also describes what makes an effective captain and the story behind those Team Noah t-shirts you may have seen all around Triton Soccer Stadium. Plus, he's on the hot seat as our popular Quick Pick segment returns. That's all coming up when our conversation with Noah Sonnenstein comes your way in a moment in this week's Triton Spotlight. Welcome to episode 61 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm your host, Jeff Turiel, and whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or on UCSDTritons.com, thank you for joining us this week. If you enjoy the show, take a moment to subscribe to the show, rate us, or write a brief review on your platform of choice. Before we get to this week's chat with Noah Sonnenstein, let's go around campus. Fall is in the air here in La Jolla, and campus is buzzing with the return of students for fall quarter. The men's golf team is back on the links opening their season in Colorado, and you can check out their full schedule on UCSDTritons.com. Triton men's soccer goalkeeper Dominic Peters was recognized as Big West Defensive Player of the Week. And this week's University Credit Union Athletes of the Week are Natalie Abel from women's soccer and Dominic Peters from men's soccer. Congrats to those two. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with UC San Diego men's soccer center back Noah Sonnenstein. Noah, let's start with your time at UC San Diego. What originally made you choose to come to La Jolla?
So many different reasons, honestly. It's one being the location. It's so beautiful here. You know, what's not to like about La Jolla? It's the weather's always so consistent. I love going to the beach. But the main reason is my entire extended family lives here in Southern California, spread across Encinitas, Carlsbad, downtown San Diego. And my immediate family and I, living in NorCal, that's where I'm from, we'd make the 8-hour drive from NorCal to SoCal 2 to 3 times out of the year to come visit them. And so every single time I came here, it was basically, it was a vacation. And so it just felt like it felt like I wanted to continue that, you know, going into school. And I did an ID camp here at UCSD, and I just got the same feeling. And to be able to get a world-class education, you know, while playing at the highest level of collegiate soccer, it just was a no-brainer. I was looking at other schools, but this was definitely my top.
And when you were making that decision, and even your first couple of seasons here, the program was in Division II, but the Division I transition was coming. So did that factor into your decision at all?
No, I prioritized my education first, but it was a really cool bonus because obviously I, you know, care a lot about soccer, and being D1 is really, really cool. But it wasn't a deal breaker for me, but it's cool.
So now you played a couple of seasons in Division II, and now you're in your second competitive Division I season, excluding the COVID season, of course. What would you say is the biggest difference, or are some of the biggest differences between the level of competition between the two?
I would say just the consistency of good teams throughout the entire league we're in. So you'll have teams in the CCAA that could definitely contend with any sort of, you know, D1 program. Like Cal State LA is an example. They're extremely good. I think they could contend with anybody in the Division I level. But then again, you also have a couple teams who just aren't very good. But in the Big West, everybody's good. Every single program is you know, one to be reckoned with. I every game we play in conference, there's no easy games per se. Like everybody's really good.
In Division II, of course, the program was very successful. And as we know, during this transition, during the reclassification, programs are not eligible for the postseason. But what are some of your favorite soccer memories as a Triton so far?
It's definitely been all the away trips. The away trips are so fun. Just being able to travel to new places and places I'm familiar with, you know, with the team, and just doing all these things together and spending basically every minute together. It's just, I really love the team dynamic we have, and, I've had great experiences on every away trip for that reason.
And is there a destination or opponent that's particularly stuck out to you so far?
This past away trip, our NorCal away trip, when we played UOP in Santa Clara, it was obviously amazing because we won both of our games, and Santa Clara is a ranked team. So that was a pretty historic achievement for our program. But aside from that, we were there for like 5 to 6 days, if I remember correctly. And we all got dinner at one of our teammates' houses, and, you know, his parents put on this whole ordeal, and we basically just hung out there for a couple hours and just enjoyed each other's company. And it's just kind of more of a testament to our team's chemistry. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. Definitely the NorCal trip.
You bring up an interesting point. I want to continue on that for a minute. So you talk about that bonding and the chemistry that the team develops. How important is that in terms of a team being successful?
Extremely important, just because I think anybody will tell you off the field chemistry translates to on the field success. And that's all I would say on that. It's, plainly put, if your team vibes off the field, then you're going to have less conflicts and arguments and, pushback from players, amongst each other and with the coaches, if that off the field chemistry is good.
And of course, by definition, the roster is changing every year. So certain guys are graduating or otherwise leaving the program. And of course, a new crop of incoming freshmen and some transfers come in every year. So how do you as a unit develop that bond with one another early on? Because the preseason's pretty short.
Yeah, it's a great question, actually. Like, me being a captain too, like, it's incumbent upon me and the other captains to indoctrinate, the new guys on our culture and just make them feel welcome. And that's something that I pride myself on, because it wasn't necessarily always like that when I came in. Being perfectly honest, I didn't feel like the upperclassmen were as welcoming as they could have been. And for me, I'm like, okay, if I'm ever in this position, I'm telling myself I'm going to do a much better job. And so, to answer your question, it is an extremely small amount of time, but doing as much team bonding activities together as possible, is what, translates to good team chemistry. I would say, like, just going on beach days, or, we got some guys with houses, and so they'll have like team barbecues, and things of that nature, kind of just like hanging out with each other, getting to know each other. I remember in preseason, we went to a Loyal game, and that was really cool. Like, whole team, we all showed up and we watched this game together. And I got to know a couple of the transfers and freshmen, and I had like really good conversations with them, while the game was going on. And it's all about soccer too, so it's a great environment, and just things like that, will help the team come together in such a short amount of time.
And you've been a multi-year captain with the Tritons. So what do you see in terms of being a captain? What is your role during a match on the field?
A lot of things. For me, as a center back and a captain, I'm the one who has arguably the best vision of the field aside from the keeper. So I'm organizing and telling people where to go. But as a captain, I'm also trying to keep morale high. Trying to keep the energy up regardless of the circumstances. So if we go 1-0 down, 2-0 down, we're tied, we're up, regardless of what the game demands, I'm keeping the team focused on our goals and reminding us of our identity and, just keeping us focused. So it's kind of a twofold process.
And as a center back, you're 6'4". Can that height be an advantage?
Yeah, definitely. I probably wouldn't be playing center back if I wasn't 6'4". just winning headers off corners, trying to be an offensive threat and offensive corners, second balls, all that stuff. Yeah, height is definitely a factor.
I want to go back to that trip you referenced a few minutes ago earlier this season, your opening trip when the team opened at Pacific and at Santa Clara. Was some of your family from Northern California able to get down and watch those matches?
Yeah, they were all there.
And how exciting is that for you, knowing that they're there when they may not be at most every game?
Oh, it was fantastic. I love my family so much. I'm so lucky to have them. So my mom, my whole immediate family, my mom made t-shirts for them. And they all say UC San Diego Soccer on the front and Team Noah and my number 3 on the back. And so it's pretty easy to point them out amongst the crowd. And I'm all for it. Like, I'm so lucky to have them. They're my, they keep me grounded for sure. Like, I wouldn't be here today without them. So to have them at all of the, every single game, like that they're there, like I feel like I'm in a better place. So yeah. Yeah.
So I've seen those t-shirts at Triton Soccer Stadium. It's not, yeah. there's not one or two. There are many.
No, there's like 8.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah.
So let's go back to last year, the team's first season competing in the Big West after the COVID canceled season in 2020.
Yeah.
We touched on it a little bit, the difference between Division II and Division I, but as a team, what surprised you about the level of competition you faced last year?
I think, to describe last season, it wasn't ideal. Our record shows that, but what the record doesn't show is just how close we were to winning the games that we narrowly lost. Like, so each of our games were lost by one goal or two goals. And each of these teams that we played with and lost to, we were toe to toe with. And so I think what was surprising to some was, like, you know, we were neck and neck with these like top ranked teams, but I think it might've been just a lack of experience. We weren't able to grind out those games and get, you know, a gritty goal. Kind of like, you know, the teams that we were able to do last year. And I think we kind of needed last year in order to succeed this year, because a couple of games, you know, were very close, but you know, we were able to grind it out and have the mental focus and discipline and get a gritty goal like that and prevent the other team from scoring. So, that's what I would say on that.
And as one of the elder statesmen of the team, is it that much more gratifying to have gotten over the hump most of the time this year as opposed to last year when you were oh so close, but not quite?
Definitely. Especially because it's my last, you know, I got to make the most of it.
So let's talk about that. So you came back this year as you're in grad school now, but you came back for the 5th year of competing because of the 2020 season cancellation. When did you make that decision, and was it a tough decision to make?
No, it was honestly kind of a no-brainer. Like, it was a blessing in disguise, you know, just because COVID obviously was awful. But for me, I like, you know, thinking positively, glass half full perspective, it presented a unique opportunity for me to get my grad degree and also play simultaneously. And so it made sense, you know, once we figured out that I was going to be able to get another year of eligibility. I was already looking at grad school. And, you know, once I realized that I was going to be able to play at the same time, it just made sense.
And what was the actual process like of applying for that additional year of eligibility and then having that granted?
I didn't even really have to apply for it. It's just because it was a pretty easy process, honestly. Like, the most difficult part was applying for grad school, but in terms of eligibility, I just could play. I don't ever remember there being like an official process for getting another year. Maybe some form I did in ARMS back in the day, but nothing that comes to mind.
Gotcha. Well, that's great then. Noah Sonnenstein, our guest this week on Triton Cast. You tell us that you're in grad school. We'll talk about that in a moment. But as an undergrad, you were Big West All Academic last year. You were CCAA All Academic back in Division II. So how did you balance that strenuous academic load with competitive success on the pitch?
Definitely a planner really helped me, like, in terms of tangible things, having an agenda. I literally just I do this every year. I go to the bookstore and I pick up my planner and I just make sure to write everything down. Like, I have a decent memory, but there's so many things to keep track of that I just need that. It's definitely like the foundation of any sort of academic success that I have. It's just staying organized and having that structure, you know? And what's nice is being surrounded by people like me, literally like guys on the team. I live with guys on the team, who played on the team. And so they're all going through it too. And we help each other out. Like, just the other day, I was like helping my roommate you know, Nick with his paper, and he's in grad school too. And we're on very similar schedules, and he'll help me and we help each other. And so, just having people that are, you know, in your corner that are doing the same thing, also helps a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine that it would. And by the way, for our listeners, he's referring to Nick Cerrito on the team, and Nick was our guest back in episode 55. So Noah, you're in UC San Diego's School of Global Policy and Strategy, and you are pursuing your master's in international affairs. What is it that you intend to do once you earn your grad degree?
It's a great question. The program itself, the first year is very broad. And so I'll be able to select a little bit like more niche classes going into my second year. And so I'll have a better idea of what exactly I want to do based on what classes I like. I'm kind of going at it from a process of elimination standpoint, just figuring out what I like, what I don't like, how I can apply the skills that I have to, you know, potential careers. But in terms of potential careers, I'm keeping my options very open. Essentially, I'm not entirely sure what I want to do yet. But I've heard a lot of people tell me that that's okay. So I'm kind of just taking it day by day and, you know, using the people in my corner, to my advantage. I have so many great counselors and people I can talk to about this stuff. So it's something that used to, you know, keep me up at night, but now it's something that I'm excited for, is the uncertainty and the unknowing, you know, just being excited about what's to come, after this degree. And I'm sure I know it'll set me up for success.
That's such great perspective. And my vote might not mean much, but I will add my name to the list of those who are telling you it is quite all right not to have that answer yet.
Thanks.
So international affairs, your undergrad degree in international business, have you traveled internationally, or is that something you want to do one day? What's the interest there?
Yeah, no. Well, the first time I traveled internationally was actually this past summer, when I went to Israel to play for the Maccabi games, and that was a once in a lifetime experience. And it was the first, yeah, like I said, it was the first time I'd ever been out of the country. So it was completely unfamiliar to me. Everything was out of my comfort zone. But what was really cool is I was doing it with guys that were a lot like me. You know, they're going to college and they're playing soccer, and you know, we literally did everything together. So to experience that, and you know, was really, really cool. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
And how did it come to be that you had the opportunity to try out for and compete for Team USA at Maccabi?
I think it was actually John who brought it to my attention. The coach, Mike Erush, who's the head coach of Cal State LA, reached out to John because they're good friends, asking if he knew of any Jewish players who would be open to playing for the team. And that's how I got you know, in touch with Mike, and I went to the tryout and made the team. And then from that point, it was figuring out how to fund it, and then everything came to fruition. So and now here we are.
So in terms of a timeline, when was the tryout in relation to when you actually went to Israel?
Yeah. So the tryout was in July of last year. And then I heard back a couple weeks later, and then we had a preseason camp. We had plenty of Zoom meetings throughout the time in between, but we had another preseason, like a pre-tournament camp before, I want to say like June. June, May or June. And then I left for Israel July 3rd. So not a lot of time together beforehand. You know, going back to team chemistry and how important that was, like our group just immediately clicked when we got to Israel, and everybody was just vibing with each other. And that definitely translated to our success on the field.
That's so fascinating, because not only are you integrating yourself into a new culture in Israel, a place you had never been before, and not to mention things like time zone and jet lag and all of that, but you're also integrating into a new team and trying to develop that bond before you go compete in this very hefty competition. So how did it all come together?
That's a good question. I mean, I think for everybody, it was just so exciting and we were all experiencing this together. And so it wasn't interpreted as something that's like daunting and stressful. It was more just like, just super exciting. We were just soaking everything up like a sponge. And, you know, like I said, I just hadn't even been out of the country. And so for the whole first week, we're all doing like touristy, you know, cultural immersion type stuff. And I've just never seen anything like what I was seeing in front of my eyes. And so to do that with the guys, like we were already involuntarily developing chemistry because we were going through all these new experiences together. And, you know, when you do that with people, you create bonds, you know, involuntarily. So, when we started competing, the week after, so it was 3 weeks that I was there. And so for the first week was all, culturally immersive type stuff. We're touring around Israel. And then the second week is when we started competition. By the time we started that second week, you know, we had already known everything about each other. We could talk about funny stuff that happened during the first week and all this stuff. Like we were just immediately bonded because of the things we were doing.
What was one of your favorite places that you were able to see or experience before your competition began?
Definitely like the Dead Sea. That was such a trip. Like, I mean, people explain what it's like to float, you know, because of the solid, you're so buoyant.
Yep.
But you know, when you put your feet, when you're standing up and then you just let your feet go and you literally levitate, it's just so like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was almost unnerving. It was weird. It's like, why am I floating? But it was really, really cool. And then they had like the natural clay that you just rub all over your face and your body. It's like a natural mask. And that was kind of cool. I just did it because other people told me to, and I ended up really liking it. And it was super hot there. It was nothing like the La Jolla beaches here. Like it was super hot. But it was cool. Yeah. Like the feeling of just like floating on the Dead Sea and just like kind of just taking a moment to just observe where I am. Like I'm just across the world, like in some other ocean where I'm just like floating on water. It was just so cool.
We're chatting with Noah Sonnenstein this week on TritonCast. So you're in Israel getting ready for the Maccabi Games. And did you have family with you or were they all here in the States?
No, they were all here in the States. But I wouldn't say I was all on my own just because I was with, you know, 20 other guys, you know, just like me, my age in college and soccer players.
And roughly speaking, about how many of your teammates had ever even been there before?
I want to say 3 or 4 actually grew up in Israel.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had some locals on the team, which is cool. They, you know, provided a really neat perspective on the area and, were able to like educate me a little bit more on where we were at and what things meant.
And the Maccabi Games truly are like an Olympics of sorts, right? With an opening ceremony and so on.
Yeah, that's literally the way I describe it to people is it's the Olympics for Jewish people. We had opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies, and everything in between.
What was that experience like walking out into that stadium representing Team USA?
It was so cool. I'll never forget it. I mean, our delegation was like 1,500 athletes. So we're walking out and there's a mob of us and we're all wearing the same thing. And I just got a real sense of like national pride. It was pretty cool. Like we're all wearing our hoodies and they all have the flags on them. And we get there and the US delegation, we're like the celebrities there. We go into a stadium. It's like 40,000 people. It's packed. And the Israeli prime minister is there. Biden is there. We didn't even know he was going to show up prior to the whole event. So that was really cool. All the Israeli kids are like asking me for autographs and asking me to trade for stuff. And I honestly felt like a celebrity. It was really cool. It's like the closest thing I'll ever get to like, you know, the actual Olympics. And we walked out and we waved and it was really, really cool. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
What a phenomenal experience you'll always be able to treasure. What was the craziest thing you actually signed?
I didn't end up signing anything just because they were just so like far away from that. Like,
gotcha.
So they were like holding pens out and stuff. We just kept walking, you know, just because we had to keep moving. There were other teams there. But after I ended up trading my first, making my first trade, I traded my US hoodie for, an Australian polo. And that was really cool. And I was like getting to know this kid from Australia, and he's huge. He's like the 16-year-old basketball player. And, you know, he's like the same size as me. And so I'm like getting to know him a little bit. And he was a cool dude, and we just ended up trading. So yeah, it was awesome.
That's absolutely incredible. And so when competition began, what was the difference in your mind between what you were seeing there versus, say, your first Big West season, Division I college?
It's a good question. Honestly, I approached it like any other game. I wasn't expecting anything out of the ordinary. Like, soccer, you know, like different countries play different styles, but, you know, different teams play different formations, and it's kind of all the same. You prepare for different circumstances, and, you know, you do your scouting report, and, you know, depending on the coach, you do a visualization. But other than that, you know, you approach it like any other game, and you know, you prepare, for the team based on what the scouting report has. So, in terms of preparation, that was probably like the most familiar part of the trip. You know, just looking at film and understanding like what my job was when I went onto the pitch.
If I'm not mistaken, you scored a goal in one of the games. What was that like?
I did. It was incredible. It was really, really cool. It was off a corner. And I just got my head on it and slotted in the corner. And that was really, really cool. It was against Sweden. And I'll never forget that either. Just celebrating with all the boys. And yeah, it was awesome. Great feeling.
And Team USA, you played 6 matches. You end up winning silver. Mm-hmm. What was the medal ceremony about?
So that was pretty cool. I mean, obviously it wasn't as ceremonial for us as it would have been if we had gotten gold. But it was kind of cool. Honestly, it really was like one of the, I don't want to say one of the worst parts, but like, I wanted to win so badly, and we had nearly pulled off a comeback against Uruguay, and we fell short. So I honestly like just took my medal and just shoved it in my bag. I didn't really appreciate it in the moment, you know, but then I got home off my 14-hour flight, and, you know, my family's asking me all these questions, and they just want to see the medal, and I pull it out and I really examine it, you know, for the first time, because I didn't really take a look at it, when I received it initially. And it was really cool still. It's a nice medal. And I was talking about it, you know, even though we didn't win, like, to still get to the finals was a great achievement.
Oh, no question about that. And in doing some research, I know that a couple of other UC San Diego alums participated in the games in the past. There were 3 guys that played on the 2013 gold medal team. Did you get in touch with them, or did you know about that?
I did. Yeah. So Josh Cohen, I don't know if you might've heard of him. He's playing on the Maccabi Haifa team, in Israel. They made the Champions League, and he's been playing all these big teams. I got dinner with him and Adam Zernick, and he's obviously also an alum. He played, in that 2013 games, the first team to win. And, they both live in Israel, and they came to the semifinal game, and I got dinner with them after. And it was so funny to relate with them, despite being, you know, so many years apart. You know, we were talking about our coaches and things we've done on trips, and so many similarities, that I didn't think we'd be able to share, you know, given the age difference. And, you know, here we are, we're talking about Israel and the games, and that was just really, really cool.
That is amazing. Quick sidebar again, Josh Cohen, episode 11 of the show. So how did you link up with Josh and Adam?
So they reached out to me on WhatsApp, and they came to the game. It was literally that easy. We just went and got dinner after, and went to the market. They call it the Shook, I think is what it's called. It's like this big market, ton of street vendors, restaurants, and it's really hectic, and a lot of people there, and the energy is really cool. And that was it. We basically just messaged each other, and he said he'd come out to a game and bring Adam out with him, and And then that was that. We just caught up.
That is amazing. When you stepped out on the pitch for the first time, I know we talked a little bit about the difference in the game there versus the collegiate game, but what about the facility and what were your nerves like?
I was definitely nervous, but it was like a healthy amount of nerves that I have before every game. I'm confident in my abilities, confident in my team. And the facilities were nice. It was the Kraft Family Center, I think is what it's called. And the turf field's really nice. We got to play on a couple of grass fields too. The semifinal game and the final game were held at another stadium. And it was all grass. It was pretty nice. And, but yeah, it was the facilities were nice. In terms of preparation, like I was nervous, but I still felt ready to go. I was excited.
I'm sure you were. And as we bring it back here to UC San Diego, another month-ish to go in what will be your final season as a Triton. Has that started to sink in?
Yeah, definitely. I try to remind myself of that every practice, every trip, every game, knowing that I'm going to be older one day, looking back and remembering all these times fondly. And I'm just trying to remind myself to make the absolute most of it. So that when I look back, I have no regrets and I know that I made the most of it.
We're chatting with Noah Sonnenstein this week on TritonCast. You ready for some quick picks?
Yeah, sure.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Beach or mountains?
I'm an avid skier, but I think I'd have to say beach.
Ocean or pool?
Ocean.
Favorite food?
Probably sushi.
Favorite food you ate in Israel?
They had a lot of really good hummus there. Hummus and pita.
That's legit for sure. Favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Singing or dancing?
Probably dancing.
Favorite holiday?
I feel obligated to say Hanukkah, but probably Christmas.
No judgment here. What's one thing about you that would surprise even your friends?
That I had never been out of the country prior to Israel.
And so to go back to that for a second, I mean, you legitimately didn't have a passport or anything, right?
Yeah, no, I had to get one for this trip.
Wow. Did it spark your interest to go travel abroad more after you graduate?
Definitely. Just stepping out of my comfort zone like that and being immersed in an entirely new culture it just made me realize there's more to La Jolla. You know, like I am so perfectly content with staying here and not going anywhere else. Or I'd say that was my perspective to a greater extent when, prior to this whole trip. Like I love it here so much. The weather's perfect. Like I'm 5 minutes from the beach. Like I'm with all my friends. Like what's not to like? I'm so grateful for where I'm at. And when I went to Israel, I realized like there's just so much more, like don't be so close-minded. And so I realized that I do want to go out and travel and explore what's out there and make new experiences and appreciate other cultures and whatnot.
So what's at the top of your travel bucket list now?
Definitely Europe. I want to go to Italy. I want to go to Spain. I want to go to England and watch Premier League soccer games. That's definitely on the top of the list, among a lot of other things.
Reading or writing?
Reading.
Favorite type of music to listen to before a match?
House music.
Podcasts or playlists?
Playlists.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Probably just Oreo. Plain and simple.
No shame in that. Which one of your current teammates thinks they're the funniest?
Thinks they're the funniest? I mean, I would say Nick, but he like is the funniest, you know. He's not, it's not just like a, like a false sense of of humor. I would say like he thinks he's the funniest and is very funny.
Fair enough. And we will end this with this, since we are here in La Jolla. Tacos or burritos?
Oof, probably burritos.
What's inside?
Probably a California burrito, I'd have to say.
Definitely respect that. Noah, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Of course. Thank you so much for the time.
What an amazing experience for Noah this summer in Israel. And you can tell from that conversation how thoughtful he is that he'll be successful in whatever he decides to pursue next. Be sure to join us for an all-new Triton Cast next week when we talk Triton volleyball. New episodes of Triton Cast premiere each Wednesday. And thanks for listening to this week's show. And don't forget, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms by searching Triton Cast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder that you can listen to any one of our 61 episodes whenever you want, on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast.